Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you're listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we are in a mess. When I say mess, I mean mess. You are silent about your pain. They will kill you. I'm referring to the evil empire, the corrupt people. And say you enjoy every minute of it. It is, if it contains any thoughts about doing anything, that's what it be. The art of being wise is knowing who to ignore, what to overlook, where to lead things, where to move on, and why it's so necessary. Black people are the only people playing by the rules. Created by people who don't follow the rules. That's right. Let me repeat that. Black people are the only people playing by the rules. Created by people who don't follow their own rules. They don't believe nothing about the Constitution. You know, just like they stated, to send a man to prison with no charge is not a constitutional violation. That is the most unheard of thing I ever heard of. Let me get that straight. If you're walking down the street, pretty much minding your own business, and they decide to arrest you, take you to jail with no charge, they make up a charge to get you to jail, but once you get to jail, there's no charge. And then you go to trial. When there's no charge, they convict you with no charge. So it couldn't possibly be any evidence. They send you to prison with no charge. And they say it's not a constitutional violation. Now, I may not be the smartest individual in the world. But how smart do you have to be to figure that out? Well, let me repeat that. They're claiming that it's not a constitutional violation to send someone to prison when there's absolutely no charge. unheard of. But we accept it because we're so divided up. You see, they basically got us where they want us. You know, they got us fighting over nothing. They got us clowning over nothing. You see, they have went so far to attack the school system with black folks. You see, we always took care of each other. I never known black people not to try to take care of each other until now. When I came to Benton Harbor, it was a whole new world for me. The people, you see, these were people that I went to college in Texas, and it reminded me of the people that lived in Texas, but the people in Texas were more sophisticated, you see, because these people, I felt, didn't even know which way was up, you see. Today it's not been an easy day for me. A lot of things are going on I'm concerned about, especially the water crisis. I am honored to just be able to even stand in this space today and be with you all. My brothers and sisters, it is an honor to be in your presence. You know the story of the Trojan horse. I'm pretty sure you do. I want to wrestle with you today. I want to cry in public. I want to maybe even cry out loud. I want to holler out loud and even suggest that America needs a revolution. That's right. America needs a revolution. That is right. America needs a revolution, a real revolution, a real movement, a national call for a revolution. We need a revolution. A real revolution right now. This is nothing new. What is happening today is not new. Do not let anybody tell you that the moment we are in America is new. They may have new players, but it is old as apple pie. That's right. They say apple pie is America. But what is also as America as apple pie is the people believe in a revolution. We need a revolution. We need to change the way we talk, change the way we do business, change the way we act, focus on the future of our children. If we have to make the sacrifice, we're doing it for a reason. We have just had an elected official last week say, poor people are poor because they want to be poor. Now, who wants to be poor? They're saying poor people are poor because they want to be poor. Help me understand that. Who do you know wants to be poor? Who? And you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure out you would rather not be poor. You know. They're saying, because they want to be poor. Poor people are simply spending their money on movies, alcohol, drugs, women, and all the things they should not. That is why we need to end the estate tax, the ghetto tax, and all other things. Poverty program for the poor. Nonviolent is fine if you can afford it. Just remember, denying millions and millions and millions of people clothing, food, is an act of a political violent war. It is war. We need a revolution. We need a real revolution. We need people to take a stand like never before. We need a revolution against the Sambos. We need a revolution against the Sambo. If your brother's a Sambo, we need a revolution against him. If your father's a Sambo, we need a revolution against them. Because he's not with us. If they're Sambos, they're not with you. They're not with you. They're not with your family. They're not with your children. They're not with nothing that you do. They only care about themselves. That's a Sambo. We need a revolution. We need a real revolution. We need a revolution to bring attention to the poor, to stop the suffering, to help the homeless, to stop people from starving. We need a revolution to stop the hate. We need a revolution to educate our children. Some of these jobs that they exist, even the non-skilled jobs, are given to poor whites, allowing them to make a six-figure salary on the highway. We need a revolution. We have to turn one. See, one of the things that they're doing now, and the reason we have to have a revolution, because they turn in black folks against black folks. We already know that white folks hate black folks. Not all white folks, but let's say 90%. One lady told me when I was in prison, she wrote me a letter, said 67% of the white people that live in Barron County are racist and hateful racist. But she said this is important. She said 33%. That's a larger number than I ever thought. She said 33% of the people that live in Barron County are not, but they're just afraid to speak up. These are white folks. They're saying they're not afraid to speak up. I don't see that, you know. I see maybe 3-4%, because whether they're wicked, evil, wicked people or not, they supporting them by not doing nothing, you know. And the thing, if you are silent about your pain, they will kill you and say you enjoy it. If you are silent about your pain, they will kill you and say you enjoy it. That's why we have to have a real revolution. We have to have it. There's no if, ands, and buts about it. That is why we need to end the estate tax, the ghetto tax. Now, understand what ghetto tax is. This is important. Understand, when you live in the ghetto, you pay at least 5% more than someone not living in the ghetto. Here in Benton Harbor, we only have one black store. The rest is Arabs, Indians. And we definitely, and they cheat the people. You should ask them, they would never spend a dollar here in the city of Benton Harbor. Never, never, ever. So this is really, really, really important. We need a revolution to stop the hate of black people, turning one against the other. We will not look at the face of the poor. We need a revolution. We need a revolution until the sick receive health care. See, one of the things here in Benton Harbor, you can't go to the hospital. You can go to the hospital with a cold and end up dying. You can go to a Cornwell or whatever we call it. It's still Lakeland to me. You can go to that hospital with just a common cold and end up dying. You can go to the hospital to have a baby and end up dying, both the baby and you. We have the highest infant mortality rate maybe in the whole country because of this one hospital, because nobody complains. Black people don't complain about nothing. They don't complain about nothing to the people. They're afraid to go to that white devil and tell him we have a problem. They won't do it. I remember I approached Lakeland, Laura Hammond, he was the president and chairman of there, and I had a discussion with him. What are you going to do to help the residents of Benton Harbor? What are you going to do to save lives and Benjamin Harper. What are you going to do to improve health care in Benton Harbor? What are you going to do? Talk to me. Tell me what you're going to do. Talk back to me. These people don't care because the residents don't care. They don't care. Their children was inside the schools with no heat. And not one single parent said a word about it. Not one. They was inside the school, their children. That's child abuse. They were inside the school wearing their hats, coats, scarves, boots, and gloves. Inside the school. And not one single parent complained about it. You had actually had board, school board members vote not to repair the heating system. That's right. You had school board members vote not to repair, not to repair, not to repair. Unbelievable. We need a revolution. We need a revolution in health care. We need a revolution so the poor are lifted up and not pushed down. Never ever worry about who will offend you will or you will offend. Never. That is the last thing that should be on your mind. If you are speaking the truth, worry about who will be misled, deceived, destroyed. If you do not speak truth to power, that is one of our pitfalls right there. We literally too afraid and intimidated to speak up. And you can't read the Herald Tribune newspaper. Everything they put in there, they use words to mislead you. You cannot read the Herald Tribune newspaper. You can't do it. It's garbage. It's garbage. Black folks need to get, we got to do better. We got a lot at stake right now. The future of our children is at stake right now. We got to do better. We got to be able to make sure that that foundation for our children is solid. You might have to take a hit. But the bottom line, our children will be safe. We have to go out here and improve the school system. We got to do that. We got to change the way we do business. And if we don't change the way we do business, we're heading for destruction. You see, they have ways, you see. Everything they do is calculated, you see, and then they have a backup plan. That's how these devils do. They have a backup plan because they know black folks, what we do, we plan for Saturday night. What kind of crap is that? We plan for Saturday night, and we'll go anywhere to get some of that old wacky weed. That wacky weed is all over this place. They got all these cannabis places here. What type of person would want this cannabis stuff in their community? I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to look at it. My concern is what it does is going to let the next generation of our children, they will be going to that cannabis, these cannabis places. They got six of them here, and they're asking for two more to come. Unbelievable. We need a revolution, a real revolution. And a revolution will be bloody. But we need it. We're not prepared for it. We are not prepared for a revolution. because we're using up all our bullets on each other. That's right. We're using all our bullets up on each other. When the revolution starts, we won't have any bullets. And let me say this, too. You guys out there doing them drive-by shooting, that's a coward act. You're a coward. That's what you are. And that's all over the country they're doing. It's just not in Benton Harbor. It's just not in Chicago. It's just not in Detroit. It's just not in St. Louis, Missouri. It's just not in Houston, Texas. It's all over the country. And these women, and I love y'all, but you can't raise no young man to be a man. You can't do it. You might get a few of them might sneak through the cracks, but you can't do it. No matter how hard you try, it's not going to work. Because something is a man to teach a child that you can't. It's just like your daughter. A man can't teach his daughter to be a woman. You see? And that's where we at right now. Everything is so confusing. They got people doing everything. But we have to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do for the future of our children. Those nothing else matters. They come in too close. They don't want you to think on it. They want you to think about Saturday night. That's what they want you to do. They want your day, go out and buy you some new rags to wear on Saturday night so you can get drunk and come home and pee on yourself. That's what they call about. Oh, I went out Saturday. I had a great time. Oh, I spent a couple of hundred, maybe $400-$500. You know, I really had a good time. Well, that money could have been going for something else. We got issues. And we got to correct these issues. And the only way I can think of right now, we got to start planning for a revolution. You know, and don't ever, never ever worry about who will be offended. That is the last thing on your mind. If you are speaking the truth, don't worry about who being. You know, there's nothing worse than misleading people, deceiving people, destroying people. Power the truth. Even if it's just you. Even if it's just you. It can be done. I'm going to bring in my first guest, the one and only Dr. Tash. But this thing, this Sambo thing is out of control. It has become bigger than me. Houston, Texas, want to have like a spring, you know, exhibition. He want to put up $1,000 because we, you know, the city of Benton Harbor, a small community. One, we had over 31,000 votes. But now what we're doing, we got 17 cities now who's going to play this tape on their show. Everybody has to have a show. Even if it's a blah, blah, whatever it is, you got to have a show to be part of the Sambo, you know. So right now we got 17 people who's going to, but my goal is to have 50 different teams, then have, divide them up in 25, and then we let, you know, everybody go. We're going to have a, my thing is have 12, 12, 12, 4, and have like the western region, the eastern region, the southern region, and the northern region, the western region, southern region, and the eastern region. That's my goal, to have something on that level. We'll play it off in January. Then we have the Sambo Super Bowl once again, Sambo Super Bowl 2. We'll have that in February, and that whole month of February, I'm looking at having 10 teams, 10 of the top teams with the most votes to go up against and see where they take us. But on that note, I got to bring in my good friend, the one and only Dr. Donald Times. There's not even two of him, but that's my man. Dr. Times, talk to him. Tell me what's really going on in your world. Tell me about you. Tell me what's happening. Well, the one and only Dr. Tan. Talk to me, Doc.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone for the discussions around the Sinai Grace Hospital, exposing the Sinai Grace Hospital down in Detroit. Back when I last spoke with you, it was the medicine department imported all of the new interns, the new doctors from India. What was found out was that the Indians over were taking the exams to medical school exams, and they were passing them almost with perfect scores because they were cheating. So they got caught cheating, and it was what one of the white guys at Sinai Grace was saying, the reason why he wasn't choosing blacks or Americans was that because of the high grades that the Indians were and the Arabs were bringing in from Nepal. But we know that the grades didn't match the quality of the care because next to our own hospital here, they have one of the highest death rates. So Sinai Grace is like considered a death trap to African-Americans because it's in a black neighborhood, like a 97% black neighborhood, but all the doctors in internal medicine were from like India, Pakistan, Syria, Iraq, all of those places. And so by bringing that awareness, we were able to bring in some more blacks, and some black Americans are slated to be considered to be brought in. Now, they say they brought them in, but we're not going to trust that until they walk through the door with their white coats on, their stethoscope, and start seeing patients, and not just be lying and trying to get the heat off. So you always have to make people show you, especially the people who've done injustice and done wrong, to show you. The other thing is that they had an all-white OBGYN department that delivers the babies, and what we know is that the subconscious racism in the white communities and in those in OBGYNs have been killing black babies for some decades, and now they started killing the black woman. They even tried to kill Serena Williams, and they wind up just killing a cheerleader for one of the professional football teams. You see, and they don't even know that they're killing them. They just subconsciously are getting out, and satanic forces are controlling them in that delivery room, and that's why the baby's leaving dead, the mother's leaving dead, and they don't really even try to save a baby like they do with white babies. We can show the difference what they do to white babies and what they do to white babies in Europe and what they do to black babies. You know, so the black baby is up against a wall trying to stay alive from delivery, even to make it to the nursery and to after that. And that's because we've never addressed the issue of systemic racism that's out there. But because of the young ladies out there who planning to protest Satan shut Sinai Grace down, it brought attention to help to rectify. See, closed mouths don't get fed. Closed mouths don't get fed. Closed mouths don't get fed. So you don't have to be a Reverend Pinckney to lead a revolution, but what you have to do is just speak at the dinner table, coffee shop, at the donut shop, at the supermarket about an injustice that's to the people. Just that spreading of a word, because the devil likes to work in the darkness. He likes to be hidden behind the scene. And so your tongue is your power. Like right now, your tongue has been so negative in killing people that now you can bring life to a people with just mentioning a problem. And that's what's needed, because we cannot look around for those for us. See, that slave mentality got us in a part where we're always looking for somebody to care for us and to care about us. But Malcolm X told you a long time ago, he said, this is what Malcolm, quote of Malcolm, sometimes a fruit falls from a tree and rolls so far away from its roots that it's no longer of the tree. The hard fall and the long journey bruises the fruit so much that it's totally changed. It's the same for some of our people. This is why you can't be a Some can't be awakened, regardless of how much truth you present to them. The journey has totally brainwashed them to such a degree that they're long, no longer from the original tree. And that's why you can get that, you know, your Clarence Thomas, your football player,
Walker. I know you're talking about Herschel Walker.
Yep, Isaiah Walker, yeah. And then you got the guy who looks like he was from the Cosby cartoon show with Fat Albert, Tim something with the buck teeth, that guy. And then you have that chick named Candace. So we have to look at them as being different from us because mentally they see themselves different from us and don't try to make a house Negro into a field Negro. What happens, you'll get lynched every time. You'll get hung every time. You know, every slave revolt that happened that in the United States that was thwarted or stopped or prevented was because a house Negro black person sold the other slaves out, period. And so, and then they reward them with a phrase called meritorious manumission, meritorious manumission, that you award black people that do black people wrong. And today we call that giving them political office. Today we call that giving them political office. Today we call that giving them political office. So so Malcolm gave us some teachings, but just look. When this look, listen, can foxes teach chickens how to deal with their disappearance? Can foxes teach chickens how to deal with the disappearance of the other chickens? What I'm saying is, how can people subconsciously, listen, how can people who subconsciously practice racism, teach diversity and anti-racism? How can that be? How can the fox try to tell the chicken how to be a better chicken and not get eaten? When this fox has some chicken meat caught in between his teeth. And so we have to get more current. The young people are asking, you know, when they look around, how these doors are locked on them, and they're frustrated. But I want you to look at this. If you go to your local gas station, that Arab, that Indian, he's going to tell you this. Because the house Negro is going to be saying diversity and inclusion, and they ain't done a damn thing. But the Arab is going to say diversity for an Arab or an Indian from India means from their different tribes. So diversity means don't be bringing in no Negroes, no blacks, bringing other people from their Arab tribe, their Indian tribe, from their Pakistani tribe, their Syrian tribe, bring them. So it has nothing to do with the Civil Rights Bill or the Civil Rights Movement or black people. So when you see stuff going on around in Palestine, those niggas out their minds when how they disrespect us and treat us. I have family.
Yeah.
Palestine. But how they treat the black people, and I posted it, you know, they still practice slavery in the Arab countries. The Arab countries never strayed that they started in 640 A.D. 640 A.D., 640 after the death of Christ, those Turkeys started enslaving black people, enslaving Africans, and never stopped. Yes, Britain stopped. Yes, France stopped. Yes, Europe stopped. Yes, America stopped. But the Arab, Ashulam Aleikum, did not stop. So those Negroes did not stop. So what we have to do is not seek help for others and not let others try to come into our community or try to get us involved in their struggle when they disrespect us. You see, some of us, like women picking the sand, be going around here like sheep. But Reverend Pickney, President Mugabe in Africa, he said, A sheep spends his whole life fearing wolves, but eventually is eaten by the shepherd. A sheep spends his whole life fearing wolves, but eventually gets eaten by the shepherd. So our people have been eaten up by some of the white people that they have been trying to help and support. You know, those are the problems. And so, yeah, I talked about the Arabs. I talked about the Indians. Well, the Chinese, I'm not going to let you off the hook. Now, the WIC, and this is Chinese, so I got to change. So, in how it's written, it would be YICK, YICK space WO, WIC Wu, Wu versus Hopkins in 1886. Now, listen to what I'm saying, 1886. Remember, the emancipation came down 1862 to 1863. So when the Chinese came here, they came here to work the gold mines and the railroads to make money and a job. And they want to talk to you about the Chinese Exclusion Act, that they were excluding the Chinese. Well, the Chinese ain't participated in slavery. The Chinese didn't participate in Jim Crow. Yeah, we look in that David Carradine, Kung Fu. Yeah, they came on the railroad, but they're leaving out the black people about the part. See, because the blacks were catching hell that they couldn't really get jobs. The blacks were catching hell where they couldn't own property. The blacks were catching hell because they weren't allowed to go to school. The blacks were catching hell because they weren't allowed to be able to save money or even use a bank. The blacks were catching hell because they weren't trying to be allowed into, because the blacks were catching hell just trying to feed themselves and survive, where the Chinese come across this long ocean with a passport and a visa and a choice to come here, while we only had the chains that brought us here. And so doing that decision to allow Chinese to have access to be able to have citizenship, the Chinese made it clear that they did not want to be identified with the Negroes, with the blacks, with the slaves or the ex-slaves. But I still like my Chinese rice. But they made it that way from about 1886. And then looking at the Japanese, you know, they come over here in 1894, because they're having a war with China and stuff, and the United States want to get buddy-buddy on their side, so they let the Japanese in. And the Japanese ain't been our friend. They ain't been a kin. And so that's why they push for Japanese and Chinese rights in terms of Chinese, Japanese, Asian hate bill. But we still don't have a hate black people bill, you see? So where are they at? So don't be talking about diversity and inclusion when that means divide out them black and include everybody else. So where were the Chinese? Where were the Japanese? Where were the Africans who considered themselves Arabs? Yeah, I got to go there because you don't know, North Africa, even in Egypt, The African there, if they're allowed in the United States, is not an African. He's an Arab in his mind. He's an Arab in his mind and classified as a white man. And my cousin Mustafa Hefne, coming from Egypt, went to the Supreme Court and said, I'm a black man. I'm not a white man. And the Supreme Court told him no. He said, as far as this hustle goes, we got to tell you no. I don't care if you look like Dr. Times. I don't care if you both got afros. I don't care if your nose looking like. I don't care. But we got this thing set up out of Rome by the Pope. The Pope created the field of Egyptology because there's nobody else who has Egyptology. And that's it's supposed to be called Africanology, Africanology, because it's a study of Africa. It's a study of the North Africa. But they want to call it Egyptology to confuse you that it's, you just study in African history. And so it's required that the Pope required that everyone of North Africa be classified as white. And that was co-signed by the Berlin Compromise. It was co-signed by England. It was co-signed by France. It was co-signed by Britain. Everybody was going along to get along because from that source is where their knowledge came from. It's from off of that short ride of 25 miles across the Straits of Gibraltar that the Africans came and saved the Europeans during the bubonic plague and taught them sanitation, taught them how to change clothes, how to bathe, how to use toothpaste, perfume, and deodorant, and how to learn how to read and write because Europe was 99% illiterate. So if you had a dollar, which is 100 pennies, 99 of those pennies could not read or write. That was Europe. Only the Pope and the King could read or write. The African came in and did their thing and set up 16 universities. And the University of La Salamanca is still there today. Our presence is still there today. And an African statue welcoming you to the university is still there today. So when we talk about education, our educational system said that the parents, the husband and wife, got the child ready for an audition at age 7. So when the professors came around, the Hercite, the teachers of the mystery, who we call the professors, came around, they interviewed to see how that kid, how much knowledge that kid had, how much control that kid had, how much focus that kid had, and to see if they would be allowed into college. Because you started college at 7 years old, and you didn't get done until you was 21 years old. That's how it went down. So our people now don't even know that the 7 liberal arts are the 7 African arts that you had to go through. That our school system that was picked up is picked up from the African school system of the 7 liberal arts. And so education was a priority. So when you talked about the boiler, the whole thing, you take care of that boiler. You had a guy there was there before. Townsville made sure that the kids wouldn't be cold, the kids wouldn't be hot. And why is it where he left, now you would think that it's okay to allow our kids to be cooked up in a room or chilled to a bone in a classroom? No. I don't care if it's a budget thing. What you would have said, if you were an intelligent person, you would have said all rooms must have heaters until we can get a contract worked out with a boiler replacement. But we're not going to leave the kids in the cold while we debate on the price or the cost. See, that's having care and a love about your kids. But when you only care about yourself and think about yourself, you can't come to that conclusion or come to that understanding. Mm. You see, so that's the problem that's happening there. And I see that they want to talk to the kids and tell them about trying to use their music to be able to reach out to these kids. And it's like what you're saying and what they're living is two different things, because that's why you're not getting the buy-in. That's why you're not getting the people, the kids following you, because you're so disconnected, it's all about you. You see, they put a song out talking about quit it. They don't understand, yeah, quit it, but you have to be clear on quit what. You see, we have a blessing. Did you know in Africa they don't even teach African history? Did you know in Africa they don't even teach African history? There's only one place, that the Dr. Diop school, but other than that, we learn history that they don't even have. They don't even have a history, so they don't really have an identity. All they have is sing and dance, how to wear clothes, how to cook food, how to dance, how to play music, but they don't have the knowledge of self. They don't have their greatness. We are the keepers and the bearers of that greatness. That's why our communication, that's why the American government puts them against us. That's why they call Akata. Akata is what the Nigerians call blacks as being lowlifes, because the United States had told them that they're lowlifes, and because Nigeria had oil and kissed up to America, the Nigerians are taught that they are better than the African American. They're taught that they're better than the other Africans. So the Nigeria has to look at itself, and they went against the other African countries talking about unifying and putting the foreigners out. So right now, the Nigerian is the house Negro of Africa. The Nigerian is the house Negro of Africa until otherwise. And so their educational system teaches them to love Europe, to love America. So our school system doesn't teach us to love ourselves, not correctly, and even to love our teachers. Remember, teachers take an oath to teach, not to be abused. Teachers take an oath to teach and not be abused. So my tribute to them, I saw them make their little rap song up. I kicked the rap song right back out. And I told, it's like, they don't, and they don't understand because it came from adults. It says, look, they're talking about not going to class, quit being late to class. No. What happened is you got to say respect for the teachers, respect for yourself, respect for your teachers, respect for yourself. Negative behavior is put on the show. Even if you see adults hitting and dancing the floor, and even if you see adults hitting the dance floor and the bottle, listen to me, even if you see adults hitting the dance floor and the bottle, Facebook, you got to put your brain on the throttle. Like Jay-Z, you got to get a master's degree. Michael Jordan used his college degree to make more money than Queen B. Making the money, with your mind. Not just with you, just wasting time. Nothing more powerful than your mind. And Malcolm and the real king, who was past the dream. And he was a black man with a plan. Dr. Anderson Educational and Financial Reparations Plan to save our enslaved nation. Nah, pipeline to prison. Nah, we ain't having it, you silly rabbit. We give up the drugs and the weed habit. You're faced with the truth like Ruth. We are the new Malcolm in the last 2 years of King. Ready to do our academic thing with books that look like us and people in the hood that haven't sold us out, but are giving us a shout out, the OGs that we can't trust. So it's up to us to make a fuss for the babies and the little ladies coming behind us. No making money with your behind, but making money with your mind. Respect the teachers. Respect yourself.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm.
Respect yourself.
Hey, let me ask you a question. A quick question. One of the problems, I saw this video on Big Les sent it to me about this 12-year-old boy. The mothers took a phone from him, and he tore up everything in the house, including the refrigerator. And she was crying, and she got 2 million people viewed that video. And I said this.
So you spoke on the right thing. Whole thing. We got to go on. We got to get to this. So the number one thing is we got this paradox. The number one thing, we got this trouble. The number one thing, we have a person who's the problem and a person who's the solution. A person who's the problem and a person who's the solution. And that problem person is the black woman. That problem person is the black woman. And who's the solution? The black woman. Who's the solution? The black woman. What has to, she has to blacken up and stop whitening up. She has to stop the black and take it back so it's not leaving her where she wants to whiten up, straighten up her hair up, light skin her face up, try to thin her lips up. She has to come back home and learn when she was a queen and not a sex thing. She has to learn when she was a queen and not a sex thing. She's the only race of women. She is the only race of women that put down their black men openly, that talk about the men openly. The China man woman, she don't say a thing. You can't even say what happens in a Chinese house between the husband and the wife. You can't say what happens in a Japanese house between the husband and the wife. You can't say what happens in an Arab house between the husband and the wife. You can't go into an Indian house in India and say what happens in the Indian house. You can't even go to the American Indian house. You can't do it. You can't go into the white man's house and really know what's going on. But the black woman is out here trashing and bashing the black man because she saw it in the movies. She saw it on TV. She saw it in videos. She's trying to get close to that white race and destroying the black race when she is the key, because historically she was the one who taught the children who the enemies were. She was the one who taught the enemies were. So yes, she's guilty. Yes, she's guilty, because she's out there shaking her butt and her behind, showing her butt and her behind, getting her fat moved around to stick it up so she could have a African-Brazilian butt behind. So yes, she's lost her mind, but we have to call her back to her consciousness. She has to look up Siraja Ali. She has to look up Siraja Ali. She has to understand that she is the savior for the black man, and therefore the black man in the black family. That's why they're trying to push this lesbian, because two women can't make no baby, just like two bulls can't make a baby. All either one could do is make some crap. So that's what the attack is, to make our women into lesbians and homosexuals, to make our men into homosexuals. That's why they're pushing this agenda in America, to try to go to Africa and say no. Africa said no. You killed our old people with AIDS. You killed our old people with disease. That's why we have the youngest working population on the planet, and we don't allow them to know their correct black history. They don't know they were the Songhai Empire. They don't know they was Egypt. They don't know they were Europe. They don't know that they were the great Zulu Empire. Do you know that they don't even teach Chaka Zulu in the Zulu nation down in South Africa? They don't teach it? Who united the Zulus? No, you got to go outside to get that. The average American know more black history than, or more African history than an African. So the history is kept a mystery, and that comes through the teaching of our systems, whether we teach it in the church or we teach it in the schools. But we are not doing that. So our black women are going around like fools. They don't know that they were the Queen Sheba. They don't know that Mary's great-grandmothers were African, were Nubian, or you want to call them Canaan. And let me do some explaining. Remember, you had Ham, and Ham gave birth to Ethiopia, which we call Cush. Ham gave birth to Mizraim. Egypt is actually called Tamari. Tamari, so Maris, the Hebrew called Mizraim. That's why it's an M and not an E or an A or whatever. So what you have is Mizraim coming from the Mari of the native language of Kemet, and then you have Cush coming from the Hebrew, and Ethiopia coming from the Greek, being in bird face. And Mizraim and Mari mean beloved, but it's Ta-Meri Mari and Kemet. Ta-Meri Mari Kemet, that's the name of Egypt, and Kemet means black, mm-hmm. The beloved land of the blacks. Then from there you got Put, which is what you call Libya, where they assassinated Omar Gaddafi because he was doing right in uniting Africa. And then you have where I had to do the explaining in a land called Canaan, because Canaan is North Africa. Canaan is North Africa. So you talk about the Gaza Strip and all that stuff, that's North Africa. But in the 1940s, they want to call it the Middle East so that you'd be, the middle of where? You need to ask them the middle of where. It's right on the continent, so it ain't the middle of nothing. But because they put a Suez Canal in it, and they put some Arabs to live there, now it's called the Middle East. But you didn't say that to Dearborn, Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan has the largest Arab population outside of the Middle East. So are you saying Michigan is the Middle East? So that means Dearborn and Detroit should be part of the Middle East. They should be called the, you know, Middle East. That anybody down in Dearborn, anybody down by Detroit, on the edge of Dearborn, they're supposed to be called Middle East. That part of the United States is supposed to be called the Middle East. So make that make sense. So the whole thing, once our black women start teaching and preaching what I'm saying, once they start becoming the Ogoye, those women who were the original fighters, that they made their myths up about the Amazon. They were the real deal. That once we make sure that we learn our history first, because we were never cursed. We were never cursed. Mm-hmm. We were blessed. We got our butts spanked because we didn't listen, and that's why we had the Deuteronomy tell us that we had to come over in these slave ships, because we were a hard-headed, knuckle-headed people. Remember that there was no white, no European during the time of Christ. There was no white European during the time of Christ. He was called a Roman or a Greek. And when the Greeks left, the Romans came, and Christ came time of the Romans, and the Romans were the whites, and those were the ones who crucified him. But it was the black Negro and the brown Negro of that time in the place you call Jerusalem, Israel. It was the brown Negro and the black Negro that was there. And the white that was governing them was the Roman. And so Paul was your mix of your white and your black, or the mixed kids today. And his job was to take this black religion, this black Messiah, to white Europe. See, we just coming off of Easter. I got to ask, how many times did Christ have to get up out the grave? Because they keep moving the date that he got up to try to confuse them. And Ishtar.
Well, that's the whole game plan, try to confuse you. That's what they
Ishtar,
do.
Understand, I-S-T-H-E-R, Ishtar, is the god of the Babylonians that everybody was celebrating. She got the rabbits. She's got the eggs, you know. She's the god of fertility. So Ishtar is what was celebrated yesterday. It wasn't celebrate the resurrection of Christ. When you use the word Ishtar, you're using a Babylonian word to represent their goddess of fertility. And that's why you ladies wind up celebrating Easter like that. Tell me a rabbit that gives birth to an egg. Tell me a rabbit giving birth to an egg. See, so we have to start correcting the realities. And the boy down in Florida, you know, he says, shoot, now if we're going to teach a history, we're going to adjust the history so that the whole truth, because if we told the whole truth, we're going to look bad. And our white kids coming up, our white girls and daughters, are going to feel bad. And we don't want our white daughters feeling sympathy for those black boys, because then they're going to wind up trying to like the black boys and sleep with the black boys, and that wind up ending our race. You see, they're concerned about the perpetuation of their race. Here we are allowing them to put Planned Parenthoods in our communities where they put fertility clinics in their communities. Here we are allowing them to put Planned Parenthood in our communities, but while they put fertility clinics in their communities. Yeah. You tell me, when Bill Gates said there's too many people, he's saying there's too many blacks, and that's why they got to try to eliminate those blacks in Africa, because that's where all the mineral and resources are. Instead of having to go to Africa and import the stuff to Europe, let's just take over Africa, and we can just make the stuff right then and there. You see, people are not paying attention. And most Africans are like what you're saying, are the Sambos and the House Negroes. And the reason why you didn't say Sambo, you have to correct it, because it was Sambo who killed Uncle Tom, and he was an uncle because he was looking out for the children and the women and the older men. And they tried to make him the villain. Just like, you know, they tried to make Malcolm the villain, but then Malcolm and King was speaking the same message. And when King got together with Dr. Claude Anderson and came up with the economic plan, he became too dangerous of a black man. They killed him. And so King was talking about, I have a plan. And King said that we've moved away from the civil rights into the human rights because there was a civil rights bill that had passed. So he couldn't talk about civil rights anymore. He had to talk about human rights. But the white people who control the holiday always want you to have about the dream, but never want you to know about that he had a plan. If they loved him so much, then why did they kill him? If they love them so much, why did they kill them?
There you go. There you go. Oh, it's going down.
And let me tell you this. And it was a black woman. It was a black woman that they set up and stabbed Dr. King in the chest. It was a black woman who tried to take out a black king because of that mental injury.
Hey.
So we got to heal our black woman.
There you go. All right, Doc. Hey, let's talk about them Chinese in Africa on Monday. You know, let's do that. Let's talk on Monday what they're doing to the African, because they say if they buy oil, they gotta go through the Chinese to buy oil from their own self.
Well, I hate to say this, but the South African government did not get free until they started killing the house Negroes with the necklace when they would put a tire set on fire around a black person who was betraying the African people. So what happened is you got Negroes from black skin. They have to get rid of them. They got to get rid of any black skins that would allow a Chinese to come in, a Russian to come in, a European to come in, and colonize them again. So you don't want the people. That, you need to eliminate
Let's talk about that on Monday. Yeah, we are out of time. Appreciate you so much. God bless you. God keep you. Let's keep this thing rolling.
Peace.
My brother. All right now.
Goes for you and your